Welcome back, everyone. This is Gameplay. I'm your host, Matthew Kaz, and what I like about talking about fantasy hockey is never about, do you think this guy's going to, how high do you got this guy in your team, and how's your fantasy team doing, and all that. I like talking about fantasy hockey because it actually allows you to assess what is going on in the NHL. You just do it through the lens of fantasy hockey, but it's really just a hockey conversation. And join us now to get into all of that, Director, Senior Fantasy Editor at NHL.com. It is Pete Jensen. Pete, thanks so much for joining the show today.
Yeah, absolutely. Appreciate you having me on, and definitely echo what you're saying. I mean, there's no better way to get into the nitty-gritty of what's going on with lines around the league and production trends and everything like that than fantasy puck talk. So yeah. Appreciate you having me on.
100%. Well, let's start here. I looked at the odds, and the odds will tell you that Austin Matthews has a better chance of scoring tonight than the guy who leads the NHL in goals scored in Connor McDavid. Is this simply just a thing that there are more Toronto fans and they just all want to bet on Austin Matthews to score in his return tonight against, I know against a very bad Blackhawks team, but I was shocked when I, and it's close, but I was shocked when I saw the odds slightly favored Matthews over McDavid.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think, whenever you have that narrative, a lot of people flock to it, whether it's a guy returning from injury, a guy in his first game with a new team. Like, perfect example of that was Tarasenko last week. Everybody was all over that one. Whether you're covering fantasy or betting on hockey, everybody was on him to score. And of course, he scores in the first 3 minutes. And then, of course, there are those revenge narratives when a guy's facing his former team for the first time. You saw that hit the other day when Beauvillier and Horvat were both playing each other, right? That was like a great storyline there. So, yeah, I think those type of narratives are where hockey betting can be fun, and DFS and fantasy, that's the best part about watching hockey is when you have those type of storylines, right?
Oh, God, yeah, absolutely. And listen, we are all, some of us are suckers for it. Sometimes we just bet on the narrative because it's fun. And my message for people out there, I'm not going to tell you not to do it, but just make it $2 or $3. Don't put the serious money on that.
For sure.
From a fantasy perspective, what is the gap? How large is the gap between Connor McDavid and the number two forward, David Pastrnak, versus David Pastrnak and whoever you got at number three?
Yeah, I think Drysdale's in that conversation as well. He's really proven over the years that he's the number two fantasy pick in a redraft league, that type of thing. But the gap is widening for sure. Whereas a couple of years ago, you could have had an honest debate, with Nathan MacKinnon, like if he were to put together a full season, which he has still not been able to, you could have matched up the production trends and the points per game averages and had a fair debate there, but it's case closed now. McDavid has been incredible, like you said, with his goal scoring this year compared to years past, giving him another layer and another reason why it's not even a contest anymore. So, yeah, it's pretty amazing to see. For years, we were always having those debates about MacKinnon or Matthews or Alex Ovechkin when he was covering, some of those key standard categories like shots on goal and power play points and hits and also goals. But right now, it's McDavid's world, and we're living in it. And the only question there is, can he get over the hump this year, get to the Stanley Cup final, and maybe even hoist the trophy? That's all that matters for McDavid at this point in time in his career and his legacy.
Yeah, I love the fact that he just woke up and was like, you know what, this year, screw it. This year I'll just lead the league in scoring as well. That'd be fun. We're joined by Pete Jensen, fantasy hockey analyst, senior fantasy editor at NHL.com. We're sort of just going to spin the wheel of topics. Where did you have Jacob Markstrom ranked at the beginning of the year, and where is the Calgary Flames goalie ranked now?
I mean, it's a tough topic. I'll be honest. We had him definitely in the top 10 fantasy goalies, maybe even the fringe top five in some of our mock drafts. And just because he was such a workhorse last year, but it's crazy. He's really gotten outperformed by his still rookie eligible teammate, Dan Vladar, up in Calgary. The offense is deep in Calgary, but a lot of guys from Huberto to Uyghur have not lived up to high expectations. So maybe just with all that offensive, that off-season movement and the trade and losing guys, but also gaining guys back. I think a lot of people, including myself, got caught up in a little bit of the momentum. And Calgary's a fringe playoff team right now. I don't even know for sure that they're going to get in. So it's one of those things where if you have Markstrom, you try to exercise patience because he's still getting like two-thirds of the starts this season for Calgary compared to Vladar, who I said has slightly outperformed him. So someone was asking me today, you know, should I drop Markstrom? If you drafted him in your first five rounds, you probably got to just bite the bullet and hope he continues to improve over the course of the season. I know Calgary's schedule is a little bit more favorable in the second half compared to the first half, so maybe that could work in his favor. What a great example with Jack Campbell, how he struggled earlier in the season.
Yeah.
Now he's been on a great winning streak over the past month or so and quietly rising the ranks back into the top 15 goalies. So maybe that could happen with Markstrom again down the stretch.
You know, it's funny. I wasn't even thinking about asking you this, but going into this year, the conversation with the Maple Leafs was, they don't really care about goalies. You know, they weren't going to give the money to Campbell, and they're going to take some chances on Matt Murray and Samsonov, and we all wondered about it. And for the most part, especially Samsonov, has lived well above the billing, and Schallgren's done the job when he's come in. And it's sort of gotten into this conversation about the volatility of goalies. And that really, unless you got one of a couple guys, everyone else is sort of in the middle. For you, Pete, from a fantasy standpoint, going into a draft, how do you view where and when you draft goalies in terms of how many are actual sure things versus how many are a gamble year in and year out?
Well, I think some of those, you know, the Russian goalies are very reliable, whether it's Shesterkin, Vasilevsky, Sorokin. Jake Ottinger, I think, will continue to be a highly sought-after goalie in fantasy in the years to come. He's still pretty young, and he'll deliver for you, especially with Dallas's young core. But after that, when you get into the Markstroms and the Campbells and the Freddie Andersons and guys like that, and Hellebuyck, I should give him some credit. He's been pretty reliable year to year with his high start volume and Saros as well. But after those, you know, five, six, seven guys, it's really just there's so much volatility, like you said, so many changes to the rankings week to week. I was really high on Jeremy Swayman as well in the preseason, and my goodness, what a full-fledged breakout from Linus Allmark. Nobody could have ever seen that coming, especially after he had a poor postseason last year. So that's really a perfect example. Allmark is better than any of those guys that I just mentioned this season. The clear number one, clear Vezina front runner for the best team in the NHL. And I don't think anybody was drafting that guy inside the top 75 overall in preseason drafts. So that's really the best example you could ever have.
Well, let's stay on the theme of didn't see that coming. In September, did you think Erik Karlsson would be the number one defenseman in the NHL?
No way, and I don't think anybody did either. But I did say in the offseason that he would benefit from potentially from Brent Burns being traded away and having power play one to himself in San Jose. And they do have some weapons, of course, with Timo Meier and Hurdle and Couture. And yeah, I never would have seen this coming though, because I would have said with pretty confidently in the preseason that the Sharks were not going to make the playoffs. But Karlsson has been on a torrid point pace. He looks even better than he did earlier in his career, which is amazing. I know he's getting up there in age, but he still has a lot to offer, and it puts the Sharks in a really tough spot, like in terms of either having to re-sign Meyer. I know they gave a lot to Hurdle a year or two ago. Carlson's locked up for a while, so they are either going to trade away Meyer and, you know, sink even further in the standings and maybe be in the Connor Bedard sweepstakes, or they're going to try to, you know, continue, maybe still win the lottery, you never know, and build around Meyer and Karlsson. But the problem with the Sharks is that they're just not finding enough traction on both ends of the ice to compete for a playoff spot, which is disappointing for them, considering where they were like 3-4 years ago.
Oh, yeah. California used to be, you know, dominant between the Sharks and the Ducks and the Kings. And, you know, Certainly not the same case now. Pete, before I let you go, and again, a director, senior fantasy editor at NHL.com, the trade deadline is a couple of weeks away now. For you, from the fantasy standpoint, what trades or storylines interest you the most?
I definitely think like the Edmonton Oilers are like a piece away from contending for the Stanley Cup. So wonder if they could get in on Erik Karlsson. Wonder if they could get in on Jacob Chychrun. Their forward group is loaded as is with full-fledged breakouts from Nugent Hopkins and Zach Hyman this year. And now Kane is back healthy. So really curious to see what they do. And then, of course, with Timo Meier and Patrick Kane, just wherever those guys go, if they are traded, could definitely alter the Stanley Cup futures market and the fantasy rankings. So just like the Tarasenko trade did, right? Like, how much more favorably do you look at Panarin now that he has Tarasenko in that forward group with their chemistry and stuff like that? So there's going to be a lot of movement. Definitely check out NHL.com/fantasy for our up-to-date rankings and the NHL Fantasy on Ice podcast, which we drop three days a week. So we'll be all over it and looking forward to covering it along the way. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely, absolutely. Follow me on Twitter, at NHL Jensen. Very easy Twitter account to remember. All the best, and enjoy the lead-up to the trade deadline and all the Patrick Kane speculation that will happen tonight with the Leafs being favored by -610 over the Blackhawks.
Good stuff. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, take care. That is Pete Jensen.